The text is from the Gospel from Luke 4, 16 to 21. Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Here ends the text. The sermon title is not typos. It is, "Do over a nut in your ear." I'll explain with a true story. It took Christopher Wren 35 years to complete St. Paul's Cathedral in London. He waited breathlessly for Queen Anne's reaction. After being shown the entire structure, she summed up her opinion in three words: "It's awful, it's amusing, it's artificial." Wren was very pleased, because in 1710, awful meant awe-inspiring, amusing meant amazing, and artificial meant artistic. The nut in our text has to do with the Latin phrase "in nuce," which literally means "in a nut." We would say "in a nutshell." In a nutshell, our text sums up the person and work of Christ, who he is and what he does. Our text is after his baptism, where the Holy Spirit landed on him in the form of a dove. This is after the Father declared Jesus to be his only beloved Son. This is after he was tempted by the devil in all the ways we are, yet didn't sin. This is after he suffered as if he had given into all of those temptations. Jesus in nuce sums up what it means that the Father poured out the Holy Spirit on him with the words, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me to preach the good news of a victory to the poor." He further fleshes this out by applying the words of the Old Testament to himself. He was anointed to proclaim release to captives, sight to the blind, to deliver broken men to release, to proclaim the Lord's acceptance. In a nutshell, Jesus is all about freedom, but only for those who know poverty, imprisonment, darkness, brokenness, and rejection. Jesus proclaims today that he is here for a do-over. Origen said in an early 3rd century sermon that we are to see the Savior standing in our assembly just as surely as he was in the assembly at Nazareth. But don't just see him, hear him say, "Today is a do-over on me." Jesus explains who this do-over is for. It's for the prisoner who has long been kept in a dark dungeon. Jesus pictures this prisoner being led out into the light of day, blinking back the brilliance as darkness fades to light. This is a broken, crushed man, but today he's favored by the Lord. The question is this you? If it ain't you, the do-over doesn't apply to you. You don't need the riches of Christ if you have your own. You don't need to be let out of prison if you're not in one. You don't need sight if you can see for miles and miles. You don't need release from brokenness you don't have, or acceptance if you're not rejected. David prays, "Who can discern his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." What? You've got to be kidding me. The man who committed adultery with the wife of one of his most loyal soldiers, the man who then murdered that loyal soldier to cover it up, still speaks of secret faults? Still says he can't discern his errors? Well, I can. You can from miles and miles away, right? But we can't discern our own. And 9 times out of 10, when we think we have discerned our error, our real sin, what we found is a speck in our eye while missing the whole 2x4. Not one of us knows the true depths of our sins. Not one of us knows all we need to be forgiven of. Only the law of God can show us this. Only the law of God preached into our ears can show us what we have that we have absolutely nothing to pay off God's wrath with. Only the law of God preached into our ears can show us that we have nothing to buy ourselves out of slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Only God's law can convince us we are in a prison we deserve to be in, and we have no hope of escape. Only the law can expose how blind we have been to all things spiritual, all things holy, all things beautiful. Only the law of God can show us how many pieces we have been broken up into by our sin and sinfulness, and how unacceptable we are before God. Let me give you some examples. We all think we have something to pay off God with to lessen our guilt just a little. We all think the prison of our sins is one we're voluntarily in and can walk out of anytime we feel like it. We all think we know beauty, truth, goodness, God when we see them. But without the Spirit of God, no one sees the things of God, let alone God, says Paul. There are none so blind as those who think they see. We all see someone else as more broken than we are. We all think as long as we can accept ourselves, well then God must too. Not under the law. Under the law, we're poor sinners. Under the law, none is free. No, not one. Under the law, none sees. No, not one. No one under the law is anything but Humpty Dumpty. Who all the king's horses and all the king's men, or all the drugs, all the drink, all the thinking, all the talking, all the philosophizing can put back together again. But then Jesus shows up, promising that in him are riches, freedom, sight, release from brokenness, and acceptance by God. And it's for everyone. Everyone gets a do-over today. How can that be? Because as Paul says, though Christ was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. You are as guilty as Barabbas, but you are set free as he was from his prison, and innocent Jesus goes to the cross to die the death of a damned sinner, without mercy, without hope, without company. Jesus was sealed in a cold, dark tomb for us men and our salvation. Even though he was guilty of nothing deserving death, as even the pagan Pilate said several times, he nevertheless got it and the tomb that goes with it. And though not one of his bones was broken, Jesus was crushed under the full weight of the world's sin, shame, and pain. The very worst of it came when his Father forsook him on this cross so he could accept you instead. Now here we come to the disconnect. The disconnect I speak of is between the glorious things found in the person and work of Jesus on behalf of all sinners and us sinners. Where do these two things meet? All that Jesus did for sinners and us sinners. They meet in your ears. I know "in your ears" is a crude expression, but it's literally almost what the text says. Jesus says, today, this scripture has forever been fulfilled in the ears of you. That's what Jesus says. He said it in Nazareth almost 2,000 years ago, and he has said it every day since. Today has been forever fulfilled these things in your ears. In your ears are riches for the poor, for poor sinners. In your ears are freedom for the imprisoned one. In your ears is sight for the blind one. In your ears is release from brokenness and acceptance for rejection. The word of God is a means of grace. It isn't like the words of men that can express what men want, desire, think, feel, but can't do. The word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts open and it stitches back up. The word of God is like the concussion from a big artillery gun. When a howitzer speaks, the air reverberates, putting things in motion, making things happen all around it. The means of grace, all of them, but here we're particularly looking at God's word, are the firm hook to hang your faith. Isaiah describes Christ as being a firm peg driven into a wall. Here, and where Christ says Scripture cannot be broken, where Christ says thy word is truth. Here he makes his word a peg as well. The word incarnated, the word inscripturated, the word made visible in water, bread, and wine, and the word preached into your ears is a firm peg to hang your living and particularly your dying on. Nobody gets to heaven and hears God says, well, you shouldn't have relied on my word so much. You are to go out of here with Jesus' good news that he has won for you victory over the poverty of your sinfulness. You are to walk out of the prison of your guilt and shame based on his word that says because he went into that prison, you can come out of it. You are to walk out of the darkness of your fears, your worries, your ever-present self into the light of God's grace, mercy, and peace. You are to take his word that you have been released from your brokenness as proof positive that you are totally acceptable to God. Dr. Luke drives home this peg. When he describes Jesus handling the scroll, the English says, Jesus unrolls it and rolls it back up. Well, what else are you going to do with the scroll, right? Then why describe it? Luke doesn't use the usual New Testament word for unroll or roll. He uses medical language for opening a body up and then bandaging a wound. Unless you're a medical professional, you don't know how hard it is to cut open a human body. You not only have to know what you're doing, you have to be confident in doing it. No one wants a surgeon with shaking hands. The proclaiming of God's word does two things. It opens the sinner's body, for one. You've probably watched a medical reality program where they show you actual operations. Amazing all that is in the relatively compact human body. The preaching of the word of God into your ears opens our bodies, and we see what Paul did. No good thing dwells within me. Paul sees what you see and it drives him to cry out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Yes, it's like the horror movie where thousands of spiders come spilling out of the body. Who will deliver us from that indeed? The word in our ear that shows us the reality also shows us the reality of our body being bandaged. The word for rolling up is the medical word for bandaging up a wound. Jesus doesn't cut open with the word of the law to make you bleed, but so he can heal you with the gospel word. He bandages you with the promise that he has put your sins away. God's fiery wrath that you fear has been quenched by his innocent life and his bloody death. The darkness that you see in you doesn't have to rule or ruin your life. Jesus has called you out of that darkness into his marvelous light. Your brokenness that crushes you has been bandaged by God's word, promising that for Jesus' sake you are free from it, and that today is the day to believe he accepts you. Yes, I am the nut that gets a do-over today in my ear. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.